You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, and welcome to The Compass, the podcast documenting the struggles of life as an artist. I'm Leah Walsh.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to let you know that I've just joined the Broadway Podcast Network. It's a new network. The website is broadwaypodcastnetwork.com, and they have a ton of theater-focused podcast content, so please check it out. I'm really excited to see how it will grow our community and help more people find The Compass. Also, down the road, it will help me have some ads on the podcast as well, which will be a big change, but will hopefully help my art commerce balance, which is something we discuss on every episode of this show. So I'll keep you posted. I'm excited about this new opportunity. My guest today is Rachel Nix. Rachel is an actress I've wanted to have on the podcast for a long time. She's someone who has so many different irons in the fire. She's an actor, a fitness professional, a doula, and a mom to an adorable little boy. We overlapped at Juilliard for just a year, but have reconnected through social media in the past couple of years. We were able to record recently at Juilliard. It was on a busy day between jobs and then both heading out to see plays that evening. And there's a little bit of an echo in the room that they gave us to record in. So I apologize for that. It's mostly noticeable at the beginning of our conversation and then is not as distinct as it goes along. A side note, the play I was running to see after Rachel and I spoke is called Mothers. It's at the Playwrights Realm at the Duke Theater on 42nd Street. My dear friend Mechia Haranwa, who was on episode 109, is in the show. But this theater is doing some amazing work in regards to taking care of their artists. They're working with the Parents Artists Advocacy League to support their parent and caregiver artists throughout the process, as well as reaching out to audiences in a really different way that's truly amazing. The show runs through October 12th, and I encourage you to read about what the Playwrights Realm is doing and to support them. I hope they're able to continue in this direction and that other theaters are paying attention, because it's a crucial thing in our community. I hope you enjoy the 144th episode of The Compass. The first question that I always start with is, what do you do to try to keep from going to the dark side as an artist? And what does the dark side mean to you most often, like when you hear me say that?
It's actually a great question and perfect timing. Yesterday I had one of those energy sign things kind of happening days. I don't quite have the word to express exactly what, but I'm a doer. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get everything off the checklist, keep moving. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
I'm accomplishing things.
I'm great. Fine. And then I'm like, I'm not fine. And I don't like not being fine, but I know it's important to not be fine and be fine.
Right.
That makes no sense in all the sense if you've lived it. Yesterday, of all the things, I was watching Styling Hollywood with Jason Bolden and his husband Adair. They're two black stylists.
I just discovered this show the other day.
Like, yeah. So I had known about it. It was in my wheelhouse. You're a mom. You're an artist. There's just no time to like sit and Netflix and chill like in life. But this, I was like, it was kind of like a gloomy day yesterday. Samuel was kind of chill. It was just he and I. I didn't have anything on the schedule. And it popped up like on my suggested Netflix. I turn it on. He's independent playing, I'm able to consume enough. We then go for a walk, he naps. First episode, this is such a cute show. Text my cousin, she's always like, I'm gonna be there, I need Jason to style you for your first red carpet. And I'm always like, all right, Risha, like whatever. She's like the cousin who's like, you will always act, right?
Right.
I don't care what happens, you're acting, you're not quitting.
She's your biggest fan.
Biggest fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fine, she's all excited. Oh my God, I love Jason. Da-da-da. I watched another one. Taraji P. Henson like got his career started. He and his husband are black. Most of his clients are black women. And it was like the Emmys last year and he didn't have a dress. Mm-hmm. Then she tried to find a backup, nothing worked. The dress he thought was gonna come from Paris, he wasn't really sure, it came. It had a hole in it. Then he's like, shit, there was just like nothing. And you just watch that he's like, I can't let her down. I don't want to let anyone down, but not my person. So like watching that, I was like, it was just really beautiful that he cared that much. And then he found one dress. She's like, you only have one dress. He was like, yeah. And it worked. And it was just this beautiful thing. And I start tearing up. And I'm like, why am I emo about a stylist and a dress for the Emmys? Like, I have no idea. Baby sleep. I'm like sitting there. I text my cousin. I'm like, that was so beautiful, that scene. More happens. I'm watching. And I realized, I think a lot of things. The hashtag representation matters is so cliche, but it is so real. And I've had a couple moments within the last year where I've realized it really matters and that I am more confident when I see myself than when I don't. And as I say that, I get emotional because I don't necessarily see myself. And so to see myself matters. And then I text my girlfriend like, oh my God, I'm like sitting on the couch full emo about like a styling show. Like, what is going on? And she's actually friends with him. So she's like, what happened? I was like, nothing. I think he's just like motivating me to keep going. And I had just got an email for a regional show in Kansas City. And I was like, I can't leave town again. I was like, I don't even want to read this play. My gut is saying no. So I said no. Then within an hour, I got an email for a new Starz pilot lead, 12 pages. I was like, great. I've been auditioning like mad probably this summer more than ever. And I'm like, it's summer. What is happening? But okay, fine. Thank you, agents. But isn't it summer? Fine, whatever. So I'm like, okay. But I was like, you know what? This show is like motivating me to keep pushing in some weird way between the actresses I'm seeing, between Jason and his husband who have defied odds to make it where they are, looking and being who they are, my cousin being like my number one fan, my other girlfriend Danny, who's like balls to the wall for me as an actor. And she texts him. She's like, I'm texting Jason right now. And I was like, girl, whatever. She screenshot my text and sent it to him. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
She's like, you're changing lives. And he was like, wow. So
that's so sweet.
All that's to say, and then to connect it even crazier, I do my fitness as well. So I'm an actor now. I have this full like career in fitness. And we chose one of our models to be a woman of color, black woman, short natural hair. And when I saw that, I think a lot of that's because I've spoken up.
For the mirror.
For the mirror.
Yeah, I saw that on the way. I was internet stalking today.
Damari Lewis, I connected with Damari and told her, like, yo, seeing you representing our brand is so amazing. I've communicated to our founder how important that is. But I also just, with those things, I've realized, like, when you don't see yourself, you then don't see yourself places, right? It's just not, it's not a possibility or an option because you haven't seen it. Not that you're not confident, you just haven't seen it. So I think all of that is to say, it's important to see yourself, to be able to believe in yourself, which then helps you not go dark.
Yeah. And I feel like when you're not seeing yourself, it might even, sometimes you might be conscious of it, sometimes it might be this insidious, like you said, like something under the surface that you're not sure what's wrong, but something's
bothering
you. Yeah,
you're like, am I crazy? Like, why am I doing this?
Just
like,
this absence.
Is this, you're just, it's like, okay, I went to Juilliard, cool. People say I'm talented, I have an agent, cool. I've worked a little bit, cool. But like, it's not like really hitting. So it's just easy to kind of go to those places. But I think the biggest thing for me, when you say the word Juilliard, I stepped into these doors at 18 saying, I will never be jaded or jealous. And now from 18 to 35, I can let you know I am not jaded and I'm not jealous.
That's amazing.
And I refuse to ever go there because I do believe, whether it's my faith in God or whatever, what's yours is yours. I've lived enough life. I've had enough highs and enough deep, deep valleys to know. It's just your story. So all of us have chapters. Some are great. some are crazy, some are painful. But I also think as an artist, that that informs you and makes you a better artist. If all you do is work, you can't really play people. And I had that issue at Juilliard, being like, if all you ever kick it with are actors, like, mm-hmm. who are you ever going to be able to portray?
Right.
If you don't travel, if you don't talk to anybody else, then you don't get it. Right? It's your idea of right. someone, which is kind of what I was saying earlier. Like, I have a problem when you comment on the idea of someone, because all of those people are real people. It's funny when I bring up Jason and Taraji P. Henson, some people might label her like, oh, she only plays like ghetto black chicks, but they're real people. And you would I would never just like brush someone off as whatever title you may want to call them. She doesn't judge anyone she ever portrays, and it might make you uncomfortable or whatever, but she's breathing real life and truth into anyone she ever plays, and I have ultimate respect for that, or any other actor for that matter that makes that choice, especially when they play people that aren't revered in society or respected right. necessarily in society. But I also feel like as an actor, those are the stories that need to be told. We don't need to rehear the same story over and over in the same from the same perspective. So I think acknowledging when you're having dark moments is important, because it's easy to avoid them because it's not fun to feel that. And then finding who you can lean on when you have that dark moment.
I love that you were reaching out to people.
Yeah.
Even while it was happening.
Yeah, I was like, what is happening? Like, why am I on the couch crying about dresses? Like,
I have been there.
And then I was like, I kind of want to be famous now just so I can dress up with Jason. And I was like,
I don't want him to care that much about me.
No, exactly.
Take care of me.
I want to dress up in Paris.
Take care of me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's sort of an answer. We all have it. I think getting over yourself. You ain't the only one that feels that shit.
Yeah.
And I have friends, like, who think I'm super cool because I do fitness. I'm like, bitch, what? You work all the time. And they're like, but you have this whole other thing. Or looking and saying, you know, you and I have children. There's so many actors that will never have that. You know, so it's you gotta just, like, look at the full thing.
Put things in perspective.
Yeah, and it's okay to be in your feelings, because those are your feelings in that moment. And then I think just, I'm kind of the person that's like, feel it and then get over yourself.
When did all the fitness stuff start? How did you get into this? Because you, like you said, just so people know, like, you have like kind of a parallel career.
Yeah, yeah.
You're acting, you're still auditioning, you're doing all of that stuff, mm-hmm. and you're also teaching fitness classes.
Yeah, mainly days. With just the mirror. Yeah, so I teach at least 3 times a week, sometimes 4. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So I think it's all interconnected. I came to fitness like as a career on accident. I was in a very unhealthy relationship, and I'm Miss Busybody, and the idea of yoga was like, ugh, so boring. Needed it, didn't want to do it.
Uh-huh.
Then I got addicted to hot yoga while in this relationship, not realizing it was sustaining me. And then I was like, I think I want to do the training. He was like, all right, cool. So I did a 500-hour hatha yoga training on the weekends for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Started during that training in the meditation portion. I couldn't sit still for like 30 seconds because I had like a fireball in my back every time I sat still. They then told me, well, that's your throat and your heart chakra are blocked. And I was like, say what? Okay, I'm fine.
But those sound important.
Yeah, I was like, oh god. You know, this is post Juilliard, and I'm like, oh shit, my life's not perfect. I can't fix this relationship, but I'm really, really trying. And the first principle of yoga is acceptance, and accepting where you are, and the only thing you have control over is yourself. So that training taught me so much.
Yeah.
And really helped me as a woman, as a mother.
500 hours.
Yeah. Oof. And as an artist.
Yeah.
Because it's true. You need to just accept where you are and what you have control over. And it's not that much. But when you release expectation and ego, and I think that's a big thing when I realized in that training, women are not, I haven't met many women that are like, I have an ego. But I would say women sometimes have stronger egos than men. Let me explain. We visualize the way our life needs to go, and we're going to force that shit to happen.
There's some control stuff
yes.
I know I deal with.
Right. So we're not identifying it as ego, but we're not accepting what is. We're in a relationship. We're like, he checks or she checks, whatever, most of the boxes. So I'm just going to make that shit work, and I'm going to change that person so I can, like, have my picket fence. Luckily, we're, like, breaking free from a lot of that, but it's just how we've been conditioned. So we're not even realizing that we've been sold this bullshit dream of what we think we want. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you get in and you're kind of like, I don't even know if that's really what I want, but now I've forced it to happen. Now I got to make it happen. And now I got to act like I'm happy. And now we have Instagram. So let's just all act like everything's
look good
perfect.
Too.
Right. It's like it's such bullshit. Like, who cares? Like, all of us struggle in everything. Family, marriage, kids, career. Like, you know what I mean? My neighbor just lost her mom. This shit sucks. Every chapter is not going to be good. So I think that taught me, like, it's okay. And I learned in these four walls, as we record at Juilliard, that not everybody's going to like me. And you know what? Cool. I'm not perfect. I don't need everyone to like me. It's not that it's about, like, completely fuck it. It's just, like, if you're being true to yourself and trying to be a good person, that's all you can do. And as an artist, all you can do is be honest with your work. And then some people are going to dig it and others not. And that's okay. I don't think trying to chase pleasing people is like a very scary path to go down in anything. I mean, you know, now as a mom, that's some crazy shit. Because everybody's going to have an opinion if your car seat should be forward facing or rear facing, if you should do baby led weaning or puree. Or I mean, it's just like cloth diapers, this diaper, like, it's just like, who cares? At the end of the day, most of us probably ingested a lot of chemicals and we're fine. Like, it's all good. So yeah, I like babble, but.
Do you feel like you've been able to apply that sort of acceptance and, like, giving up control as you became a parent?
Best I've ever done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, he doesn't stress me out at all. He really doesn't. I'm tired sometimes. But, like, the best example of that is, I guess I was, like, you know, having my proud Instagram moment and being bored and in love with him and put him on my Instagram story. And he, like, spilled some water on the playmat. And one of my girlfriends was like, oh, my God, you didn't freak out. He spilled water. I'm like, girl, like, it's water.
The
like,
least of like, the things.
I was like, if I could list all the shit I got going on in my life right now, a little spilled water is the least of my problems. And then I'm blessed. My mother was an elementary school teacher. Mm. So I absorbed a lot of her skills. I've always loved children. I have patience for little. I have all the patience for kids. Yeah.
Did you always know you wanted to be a mom?
Yeah, I was like annoying. I had like a water baby and I like knew how to swaddle it and I would walk around the store like, shh, my baby's taking a nap. I was like so that girl.
Yeah.
And then I just knew I wanted two, and then I got married and I was like, I just knew I wanted three. And now I'm like, how the hell am I gonna be an artist, a trainer, and a mama of more than one? It's just a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And I want it, but I also like want to sort of be sane a little bit.
I have so many questions. first, how did you guys decide it was the right time? Like, as an artist, but as an actress specifically, I feel like it can be a difficult decision for people.
My work had nothing to do with it. I was like, I need to be a mama. So the relationship I talked about when it came to yoga that was unhealthy, I thought I was going to have kids. And when that ended, the only thing that was devastating to me was, oh, shit, am I ever going to be a mother?
Right.
So for me, I knew I would not be okay if I was never a mother. I wouldn't be okay. If I never acted again, it would suck. But if I was somebody's mother, I'm good.
Right.
So once we got married, I was like a psycho, put my legs in the air, I'm ovulating.
Now's the time.
Sticky things are happening. We need to do it. And he's like, oh my God, you're a crazy person. And then I had to get my eggs checked, and I was like a psycho. And then I took a deep breath and got pregnant. But and then worked and auditioned since him more than ever as an actor. So there's also some stuff you're like, you gotta let go and let God. When elders, women, and whomever is like, it all just works out, you be looking at them like, shut the fuck up. But it does. And when I just started, I'm like, I have a 2-month-old and I've booked 2 plays.
That's insane.
I was auditioning with my granny panties and a big old pad at Warner Brothers. Like, what? So my agents, I told them I was pregnant with a tadpole. And I was like, I can't audition for this because I'm going to have a big belly. And they were like, you can't audition ever. I'm like, but I don't even know if I'm going to keep this pregnancy. I don't even know if, like, this
you
baby.
You told them, like, that early.
Well, yeah, because it was like, I remember I had never auditioned for Shakespeare since college. And I got pregnant with Samuel. He was 6 weeks in my belly. I was working with him in my belly in San Diego, playing a pregnant person, which is very funny. And they called me about 12th night at Chicago Shakes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I would be like 8 or 9 months pregnant. I can't. And I was too honest. And they were like, "Ooh!" They freaked out. I had him 3 weeks later. They're like, we want you to audition at Warner Brothers for this pilot. I was like, you guys, I mean, I still look pregnant. And my vagina's kind of hurt still.
And this very tiny human I'm responsible
so
for.
So it was my mom's last day in New York. We wrapped Samuel up. I put on my stretchy pants and showcased these big milky titties. I went to Warner Brothers. And Meg Simon was like all about it. My mom was like, Rachel, she stopped the whole session and hugged and loved on Samuel and told me, you bring this baby to this room anytime you need to. Mm-hmm. And validated me as a mother and an artist. And it was really beautiful. And I have to say, like, Meg Simon, she's now retired, but like, shout out to her and Finley, who's also a mom of two. And of all people, Mark Sachs.
Really?
Girl. Mark Sachs is like, I just thought you were pregnant forever. Like, I've missed you. And how's the baby? And then one time I had to audition, and my co-star at the time, castmate, whatever, was also auditioning. And so I brought Samuel, and he watched him. And he will, like, talk about Samuel or tell people in a producer session about Samuel. Aww. It's, like, crazy. So it just goes to show you that do what you want to do. Don't worry about work. Live your life. I even just had a meeting with my commercial agent from forever. I don't book commercials ever, but she still loves me somehow. And she said, I do think people respect the fact that you live your life and you don't just act or try to act. And so she's like, know that. And I do feel that. It's crazy. You're like, how am I going to do this? And I've had a DM from a husband of an actor couple who's like, you've inspired my wife to try because she's terrified. And she like, famous for real. And I was like, how the hell am I inspiring her doing this little play in Princeton?
But like you said, you have to see other people
you have
doing
to see it.
And I actually just saw Robbie Sella from the play you did in Princeton.
Love him.
We did one of the Arts in the Armed Forces like monologue thing the other day. And
he's
I was
incredible.
Telling him, because I used to babysit his kids like right out of Juilliard.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it was because Erica Newhouse had babysat for him, and then he gave my name. But anyway,
And all
I was
three of
saying,
his kids didn't sleep. So they all screamed.
Yeah,
all
he was night. Telling me that. But I was like seeing him and his wife, who met at Juilliard, just like Frankie and I did, and somehow have 3 children,
as like,
doing it and still in the business. Like, that's inspiring to me, just to be like, they're pulling it off. It must not be impossible.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not going to look like
seeing other people do it.
Yeah.
Makes it seem doable, like you were
saying.
Yeah,
and I think all of us have to release this. It should be. Like, delete should from your vocab. For real. Because shit just might not go the way it should go. I mean, it won't most of the time. Like, right? Your sister, your mom, your relationship with your man, your girl. Like, whatever. Your kid. Like, stuff goes awry. People have pain. People have rough patches. People break up. People get back together. People break up and move on. And are happier after that. Like, but trying to like force stuff for other people makes no sense. Like, so what brings you joy? I'm sure people thought I was crazy. I I'm sure there's plenty. They're not crazy enough to say it to me, but I'm sure there are plenty of people who have talked major shit about my choices as a mom. Mm-hmm. Ooh, she left her husband, and she did this, and she left the state and took her baby to the cold, and da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. That's fine. You know, but, like, don't make choices based on what you think you should do or what other people might think or judge you or whatever. If you just are like, my gut says this, cool, then do it. If not, great. That's okay. Don't be afraid of your agents. Don't be afraid. But, and then it's like, I had to educate them. I was like, no, you need to let people know I will travel just because I had a kid.
Right.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
How do you communicate to your agents or to your future employers when you, like, when you went to Chicago Shakes to do
tried to negotiate
what you needed.
So then they don't understand that and breastfeeding and all that. Uh-huh. So
how did you advocate for yourself?
I just balls to the wall, but this business is bogus because when you're famous, you can get only yellow Skittles and shit. I'm like, I'm not asking for stupid shit like that. I'm right. asking for, like, childcare and grocery money. Like, I cannot pay. Like, literally, a babysitter costs more than my salary.
Exactly.
Luckily, I have a husband who is not also a theater actor who believes in me.
What does your husband do?
My husband's in finance. He's not, like, he ain't that rich. But he, you know, works in compliance in the financial sector. And he does very well, but he mm-hmm. believes in me. And he's like, I'd rather you go make $300 a week than do something you don't love. And we, even with my fitness, he's like, you're good, babe. You're blessed with mirror, all that stuff. But you're going to go take the play. We have a 2-month-old, go. We have a 6-month-old, go. We'll figure it out. So I'm usually the person, I'm like, but this might be in here. Oh, God, how are we going to? He's like, go get the job, and we'll figure it out.
Right.
So he's ride or die in that capacity, which That's is great. Wonderful. And then you just figure it out. You figure it out. It's crazy, but you just figure it out. But it's great when you talk about, like, successful people. So I literally had... I'll say her name because it's fine. Cassandra Freeman, who's very successful, went to NYU at the same time, and we're kind of like family. This girl make way more money than me, work way more than me. But my son's a little bit older. And she's like, girl, what am I supposed to do? I got this job in Memphis. Should I bring the nanny or the baby, or can I ask for this? I'm like, you better ask for everything. Like, you. Like,
they might say no, but ask.
Right, you got to ask. And so we have to ask, right? Yeah. I nursed for 18 and a half months, and that's what it was. So if my teachers need to release, that's what it is. I don't give a damn what your rehearsal schedule is. I'm nursing, period, point blank. So, right. I mean, not that I'm not trying to be respectful, but also in Chicago, like, he was at a point where, like, pumping was a waste of time. He wasn't really interested in a bottle. He wasn't taking a bottle anymore. So I'm like, if we have a break, my son might be around, and I might pop a titty for his comfort because he's in a new environment with a new sitter, and that's what I'm doing. And he's going to be in the room. And he might touch some props, and it's going to be fine. You know what I mean? Like, stop. That's awesome. Everybody relax. But I also had to sit down with the artistic director because other women prior to me who were Chicago actors who didn't have, say, the position I had or the confidence or attitude I had didn't advocate for themselves. And they were like, I didn't get a space or I couldn't bring my baby. And I was like, no. Because many women, even in positions of power, didn't have children, didn't nurse. They don't know. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm like, this can't happen. This needs to happen. Da, 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 da. So you always have to advocate. And men who are fathers should step up. Like, we just have to share. And because we're in this artist space, it isn't corporate. Everything isn't, like, there's not all these bylaws and policies and whatever. So you just have to ask for what you need and make sure it happens. And not be afraid of the outcome. And if someone doesn't want you because you're a mother, fuck them. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, but I just went through that. Like, I offered to do a reading of a new play with a playwright that I was just so excited about. I had to turn down a job with her when Samuel was really small because it was in San Diego and I got Princeton. So I was like, I should stay in Princeton and not go to San Diego, even though I really want to go do that play. Mm-hmm. And now 2 years later, she offers this gig to me, just like a workshop, but whatever. I'm like a theater nerd and I'm like, oh my God, I could like this reading. And
Producers?
No, the people who like give money to the theater, who like set you up in housing. The donors, I guess.
The donors?
Okay. I feel like there's another, whatever. The donors were like, we don't allow any family members, just the artists, in our housing.
Oh, they didn't have like an apartment. They had, it was somebody's
place
so they were that like, they were lending out to the artists.
So she's not allowed.
Oh my God.
So like I missed an opportunity because I'm a mom.
And they're missing out on any artist who has children.
I was just like, what? Jeez. It was for the first time. I was so mad. I mean, I probably would have made $300 and lost $2,000. Mm-hmm. But like, you know what I mean? I would have had to take a week off of work, you know, and like go and pay a nanny and all these things. But like, it just was crazy. I was just like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's not easy, but I think we have to stop not making the choices. I think the kid thing is huge. If you look around, especially with women, there's definitely more women that would have liked to be moms, but didn't. I mean, Jason has it in his thing. They're a gay couple. They want to have a baby. There's a whole two episodes where Adair is like, I'm ready. Let's do it. And he's like, he has personal reasons of like not being, you know, adequate and things like that. But he's like, now I'm Jason Bolden. So now I have to be the stylist. Now I have to be this. Now I have to be the perfect dad. Okay. Now I have to like.
Too much pressure.
Yeah. Hmm. And he has the resources. So it's really funny. You think, oh, once I'm a millionaire, once I'm famous, that'll be easier.
You always think it's going to be easier.
Correct. There's never a perfect time.
Yeah.
So I think too, like being careful of doing that whole, well, her life and his life is perfect. You know.
It's so easy to do.
Oh, and those people are looking down at you thinking, oh, and you're like, girl, what? Like, it's interesting.
Especially now it's easy to do it with social media.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I want to ask you how you approach social media. Ooh. I know you use it a lot, and I'm curious, like, your approach to it. If you look at it as, like, a tool, or if it's more about just your personal life and you enjoy using it, or, like, what you find useful and what you find hindering
about
it.
So, here's the thing. I feel like if I end up booking a... If I have enough money to like have somebody run my website or run my social media, I might do that. But then I'm still gonna be like Cardi B, who's like, I don't give a fuck about editing some perfect ass picture or video and like curating some aesthetic to make you think I have some perfect ass life, because nobody does. So for me, it's like, and I, with the fitness thing, and I'm like, you know, if a small framed woman and like maybe an air quote acceptable body type, I always am like, I just, there's this fine line of like, oh, look at me, you know? And I'm like, I don't want to be that person that's like, I'm the bomb, this, that, or the third.
Right.
I want to be helpful and motivating, but there is a line. Like, so when I did like Women's Health Next Fitness Star competition, I'm on the cover of the magazine and they're like, you got to post all these days and get votes and all this. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is like a lot of self-promotion. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, as this fitness persona versus an actor, you would think they're kind of the same. But like, if I'm selling a piece of art, it's me portraying or telling another story. It's not me like, come see me, Rachel Nix, I'm so fabulous, right? Mm-hmm. It's more like, I think you need to hear this story. At the fitness piece, it's like, I'm so fabulous, come take my class. And I am giving you wisdom and things like that, but in the business, it's much more like selling oneself.
Right.
That I have is challenging for me. When I was pregnant, I did a lot of videos and pictures of my
body. Which were so helpful to me and when I got pregnant.
Yeah, and I felt like people were like, yes. And I don't think anyone was like, look at this bitch trying to show
her belly.
Well,
and people don't talk about that stuff enough. So it actually was like empowering that you were sharing the knowledge you had.
Right. And I knew, I was really confident that that messaging was clear. Postpartum, I vacillated every day about posting my body. Because I was like, God forbid, I post my healing journey and somebody's like, my snapback should be her snapback. You know what I mean? Right, and right. I'm like, I don't ever want to make anyone feel bad. And then there's been numerous moms that have been like, but babe, that's your journey. That's okay. That's your body. That's this. Like, you're a fitness professional. Of course, you're going to heal at a different rate that we heal. So, I am like, this is who I am. I will always be that person. And so for me, that's just who I am. Yes, I have some fitness content. I have my husband. I have me. I have a picture when I was in Puerto Rico with my girlfriend that another friend was like, you was out there trying to look single. I was like, I mean, I just had a bikini on the beach, but cool if that's what you think. So, like, you can't please everyone. This is, like, a very close friend of mine. But I was like, damn, like, just because I had a bikini on. But people's idea and mindset, like, you're in your mid-30s, you're married, you have a kid.
Why are you posting that picture?
Why you have a bikini on? Like, damn, because I'm on the beach. But see, that's a perfect example of like, huh? Right. I was like, that really wasn't my intention of trying to be single. But
like you were saying when you were on that competition show, like they required you to do certain things.
Yeah, you had to get votes.
So. Yeah. Do you like now with the mirror and stuff, do you draw your own boundaries?
Yeah.
That? You're like.
They're super like whatever you want to do.
I don't want to be told what to do.
Yeah, they don't ask us to do anything. Listen, we are a very fast growing business. We're going to be on track with Peloton and things like that. So, you know, if then I have people sponsors and this and brands I work with, then they might have stipulate, you know, but right, I think
but that's up to you if you decide
that's again
to
up
go down
to
that
me,
road.
Like, yeah. And I mean, I've been in this business long enough to be like, so you need me to change who I am for $1,000 post? No. Or $300 post? No. You know, like, I'm not doing that. So if you like who I am and you believe in that and then we figure something out, great. But for me, it's about affecting change. So Mirror is such a beautiful platform because I teach everything, but I also teach my pre and postnatal. So now I'm not affecting women in New York. I'm affecting women all over the country. Mm-hmm. You know, we've probably sold now, I don't know, quite a few mirrors. So we're in every state. Quite a few people. I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to say what number, but. And that feels good, you know? So for me, and of course, like, I have to be on camera every day. So I go home, I'm like, I should probably lose 2 or 4 pounds. I'm not nursing anymore, and I certainly like my wine and my French fries. And they're like, girl, what are you talking about? But it's hard when, like, the girl, the trainer next to you is 25 and didn't have no kids, and you're 35, and you're like, oof, I didn't have a baby. Yeah. And it's just different. Yeah. And I'm not, like, hyper, you know, crazy about it, but when you're in spandex and your abs are showing all the time, you start getting
looking at yourself on camera.
Yeah,
constantly.
You're like, ooh, that white shirt and that little loose skin, that's like breastfeeding skin hanging over. Like, you know, but I then, again, I hope, too, people are like, great, she's not perfect, and hopefully that's motivating. So I think, you know, you just have to accept wherever you are and, like, it's just all the things. I forgot what your question was. I run my mouth, but anyway.
I think we started with the social media stuff.
Yeah, but, the social media. I just kind of like, I am who I am.
That's great.
And I don't have time to curate. And I don't think I'm helping anybody by curating some bullshit.
Do you have other artistic outlets, either just like as a hobby or ways you're actually...
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm really passionate about, like, community work. I did a lot of philanthropic work with the Junior League for, like, over 10 years. I retired from them just after Samuel because I was just like, okay, something's got to give. But I foresee that coming about again. I live in Harlem. I know people in Harlem that are doing things and, you know.
Giving back.
Yeah, and... my friend from, like, high school now works for Destiny Arts, which is, like, a nonprofit organization that hires teaching artists to go into schools during and after. And he reached out to me, and I was like, what about this person, this person? He was like, yo, you need to be an agent. And I was like, and I laughed.
I could be
like,
a casting director.
I know. I was like, I'm better at hooking other people up than myself. Mm-hmm. It just feels more selfless.
Yeah.
So that's an outlet. I mean, I did my whole, like, doula training and my lactation training.
How long did that take you?
The training for doula is like a week. It's like, it's practical application. It's like a ton of reading.
Right.
And then it's like being in the room.
That's amazing.
I've done like 9 births, I think, 10.
That must be
I love it, but it's very hard to like commit.
Right, because obviously you never know when someone's going to go into labor.
So my thing is, like, if you're pregnant and you want me in the room, and I will try my best to be there for you, and I feel like if it's meant to be, I'll be there. And but I never wanted it to feel like a business and, like, all this. But I also feel like people know I have the knowledge, so people reach out. So I have, you know, LV is this company that they have, like, a hands-free breast pump, but they also have a Kegel trainer. I'm a huge Kegel pelvic floor advocate. The actress whose husband reached out about inspiring her to get pregnant, she's almost 40, and she's been having incontinence, and she hasn't had a baby. But I posted that, and she felt comfortable enough to text, you know, DM me, like, girl, I need help, you know? And so things like that is just really beautiful. And I might not be helping, like, I might not have 300,000 followers or whatever, but, like, I am affecting change. And for me, that's really, really important. So when I have the time to do that, like, I was home, so I was, like, committing to try to work out every day, and I did the Instagram thing and worked out at my mom's house, and my mom and my dad have a mirror, so I was using the mirror and trying to take all my coworkers' classes and, like, post, and, like, it's, like, me rolled out of bed, my kid with a t-shirt and a diaper on, because that's real life. Like, I'm not going to, like, dress him up and put on makeup to fucking work out. Like, stupid. Like, who does that? And so it's, like, fine. And I squat down to hit stop, and you see my skin fold, and that's what it is, okay? So, like, to me, you know, it's fun. He's cute. I'm hopefully motivating people to get up and move and feel better, because even me, it's my job to move, but I don't get to move for myself. I get to move for work. And so even my husband's like, you get to move. Everybody's like, you get to work out for work. I'm like, yeah, but I don't get to work out for me. So I don't even know. So, yeah, I have so much empathy for women who are working mothers who sit at a desk. Like, when are you finding time to move, you know? So, yeah, I burn calories, but it's not, I don't get that same mentally, mind thing. Yeah. No, I get no release.
Where your mind gets to wander and you're really clearing it out.
And then I do, and then I'm like, yo, this is everything.
This is beneficial to my life.
I don't need therapy. I just need to sweat.
Are there any lessons you've learned in the last couple of years that you're really proud of that you want to tell me about? They could be small. It doesn't have to be something huge.
My mom told me when I had my son, well, my grandmother told her, no mom gets an award for a clean house. It's a good one. Ask for what you need. Have all the me time you need. Do not feel bad about it. Have all the date nights you need. Do not feel bad about it.
Did that take you a while after your son was born, or was that something that you took that advice pretty easily?
You know, he was like, my son is a boob man. And I was like an exclusive breastfeeder on demander. So that was a little bit hard, and then I was working, acting, mirror teaching, and whatever. I feel like one of the biggest compliments I received from family members, who I'm very blessed, my family will fly in to support me. I don't have any family here. They're all pretty much in Oakland. Girlfriends, family members, aunts, whatever, dad, mom, brother. My mom and my dad and my aunt, when I was in Princeton, my first job after Samuel, were like, I don't know how you're doing this. This is crazy. But I gotta say, when you're with your son, you're present. And it brought me to, like, complete tears, because I am a crazy person in general. And now I'm, like, extra crazy. But, like, the fact that they acknowledged that meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
So just be present when you can. And I've said this. This is my, like, my hashtag since becoming a mom. And I it sounds completely crazy, but I feel like I've been the most unprepared and the most present in my life. I show up to auditions, I'm like, I mean, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but here we go. And Finley's like, do you need to take a breath? I'm like, no, let's just go. And she's like, damn, that was a really good audition. And I'm like, it was? Like,
great.
Because you just have so much clarity. As a woman, I feel very confident in asking for what I need. Back to us talking about negotiations, I'm like, okay, the star just dropped out. That means there's more money. Okay, well, let's go back to what I needed. I want my own dressing room so I can nurse in private. I want an extra ticket so I can fly my husband out or my mom out. I want a car. I want babysitting money. I want, because I know they're not going to really change their salary. Or I want that. And you just, like, throw it at them. And your agents are like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, ask. It's what I need. Mm-hmm. I'm not being a diva. Okay? Ask. And if they don't want me, great. Or they say no, great. Well, if they say no and you don't take the job, I'm like, no, I'm not being a diva. I'm asking for what I need. And if any man asks for what they need, they'll probably get it. So ask. And so I don't feel bad. I'm not like, oh, what if they don't like me because I asked for this and this. Like, no, this is ridiculous. This is what I need. Period. There's no emotion. So I feel very proud of that. And I will.
That's huge.
I will advocate for any woman. I pick up the phone, call anybody, and be like, no. You give her a room. You tell her this. Like, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just crazy that. And as a mom, you know, you meet women who've worked so much, and they, everybody was terrified to probably have a baby. Because no one was accommodating that. But men can run around and do whatever. This is bullshit. It is bullshit. That part's really frustrating.
Yeah.
And I've learned women are fucking superheroes. I don't know how we do what we do. We're so strong and resilient, and you need a tribe. And lean on them, because we all feeling the same shit. We're all thinking the same shit. Yeah, you love your man, but you're like, he ain't really... Fuck, can't you see what I see? Help me. You know, we just do it all, and we see it, and we figure it out. It's just how we were made. meeting your partner where they're at, because most of them are doing their best. And you're like, oh, okay, yay, thanks.
You know, it's been interesting this whole process since I've had this day job, since we had the baby. Like, Frankie's at home with Ceci, and he's auditioning. But he's, you know, we get babysitters when he has to audition and stuff. But it's all those same questions of like, oh, well, I got this reading, but the babysitter's going to cost more. You know, they're only giving $50 for 20 hours of work. Mm-hmm. And we're paying the babysitter $20 an hour and all this stuff. And it's just this industry is not supportive.
Mm-mm. But I think, too, it's like, you know, ask your friends. Like, we're all so bad about that, especially in New York, because, like, we don't really have family. But your friends are your family. And you need to have friends that are family.
Yeah.
And that stuff's really important, you know, because we're all just out here trying to make it. And it's good for the kids, you know. It's good if you have friends. Like, I made a mom friend that's, like, literally around the corner who has, like, a daughter that's Samuel's age. And my husband's leaving town, and I teach Mir in the morning on a Saturday and a Sunday. I'm like, girl, it's kind of early. I know Layla sleeps in. But she was like, girl, I'm fine. I'll bring Layla over there. They'll play.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fine. I'll make her some food or whatever. Like, it's really not a big deal. The kids are entertained. It's fine.
No, and I definitely have let go about a lot of that judgment. Because before I had a kid, I was so willing. Because I'd watch my brother have kids. Mm-hmm. He and his wife live in Pennsylvania. They don't have any family around or anything. I was more than happy to help any of my friends who had kids, because it's like, I know what you're doing is hard. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it took like a little hiccup, but I'm not shy about asking people for help now.
And what are they going to say? No?
And that's fine. Right. If they say no, then say no.
Right. I asked one auntie. She's like,
these
like
are my friends. These are people who are important to me. Like, I shouldn't be shy about asking for help.
Yeah. Because it's so expensive. I mean, it's hard. And it's nice for them to, like, have that family friend influence, too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, not just, like, I'm so blessed, like, we have a great nanny. But it's also nice to have auntie time or play date or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If you are going to that dark place and feeling like you're really down and uninspired, are there any concrete things that you reach for again and again that help you get out of it? Like a book or places you go or...
Luckily, I haven't been super dark, and I'm good about, I'm an extrovert, and I'm an external processor, which is helpful.
Hmm.
Not a lot of artists are that way. So I just kind of spew all my shit out, and then I'm done. And the other people are like, damn, thanks, now I have to deal with what you just said. I'm just like, this is all that I'm feeling, diarrhea, okay, I feel better now. But yeah, I mean... I've been married and divorced, so, like, that shit was really low. Church got me through it. I was, like, going to church, like, twice a week. and so That helped me a lot.
Was that something that was important to you growing up, or something that you
It was, later? Like, I was raised Catholic, and then that was like, whoo, that's some interesting stuff going on there. I found my faith through the Catholic religion. I don't need to deal with all the, like, doctrine and all that stuff. But I definitely, like, you know, you're not going to, like, run into me and me start being, like, quoting scripture to you. But I get, like, inspirational readings, you know, every day. And some things, like, touch home, or, you know, I'll read maybe some inspiring books. But, yeah, I have faith. I have strong family and really wonderful friends who believe in me. And, you know, it's little things like going home and my dad's wife being like, I saw this new show, and I was like, why isn't Rachel on this show? And then I had to tell her, I was like, well, you know, it's okay. And, like, I've been auditioning, and I was like, well, I just auditioned for this new show with, like, Steve Carell and Dave Chappelle. And I said it, and I was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So when you're in it, you're like, yeah, I gotta go to this another audition, and I gotta right. sign this you're NDA, like, oh,
I'm getting,
and like,
those rooms.
I'm like, but I'm like, that's, ain't about, not everybody doing that, okay? And then my last show, Meryl Streep came.
Amazing.
And then she called back and asked for my number so she could refer me to her daughter's new show.
All right.
I didn't get it.
But still.
We had a full conversation about being moms. She really complimented me. So I gotta remember those moments when I'm like, oh my God, I'm not working. But, like, Meryl Streep didn't need to lie to me. They didn't need to see me for the new Steve Carell and Dave Chappelle show. I'm sure they had 8,000 other chicks they could have seen. You know, it's like, so calm down. What's yours is yours. What do you have?
Yeah.
It's like when I teach mirror. Okay, I need to lose 2 pounds. I need to lose 300. I don't know, whatever. But, like, what can you do? We get so focused on what we don't have, what we should have, what that person has, what I want to have, what I thought I should have. Like, but what do you have? So go there. I have a healthy son, mm-hmm. a happy son. And you know what? That's exactly what I prayed for. I don't care if he gets a straight A. I don't care. I care that he was healthy, happy, and kind. And he is beyond all three of those and some. And so that, my prayers were answered, truly. They were. So I have to me, it's just fall back on what is. Focus on that.
Yeah.
And I think that really will get you through. And get out of your head. It's just like work, right? If you're playing a sport and you're thinking about practice, you're going to get hurt. My ex played football. He was like, you can't think about practice in the game. You're going to get hurt. You're in a show thinking about rehearsal. It's going to suck. Get the fuck out of your head and be present. Keep your eyes on the horizon and be in the moment, and life is much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's perfect, but better.
And then is there anything of any art form that you've seen recently that you want to recommend?
Yes. Oh, so my girlfriend's Korean. I actually was her doula almost 3 years ago. And she works in advertising, like marketing. But she's really passionate about diversity in arts, and film is kind of where she is, because her company, like, promotes a lot of, they do a lot of premieres and events and stuff like that, so mm-hmm. she just kind of fell into that. And I saw this film that was just at Sundance called Miss Purple.
Okay.
Last night. It was so wonderful and dark and real and honest and beautiful, and I was so glad I went in the rain, but I was like, I could be asleep.
Is it playing, or was it a special
so
it's, event?
It was at Quad Cinema.
Okay.
I don't know how long it'll be, but I think they're working on financing and stuff. I think the thing is like, go out as an artist, like, go outside of the box, support other people, support minorities. Don't just go to AMC. Like, I had never been to this cute little theater on 13th between 5th and 6th. I was like, it's so cute. And, like, it was inspiring because... And to see Asian faces on screen, I was like, yo, I ain't seen this shit. This is amazing. You know, outside of the, like, what was it? Sometimes, maybe, love, maybe with Ali Wong, that was amazing.
be my sometimes.
Be my maybe, sometimes, always. So Netflix. I'm from Oakland.
Yeah, it was Netflix, right?
So I like loved it because it was from
great.
The Bay.
It was just
so
like a
great.
Fun romantic comedy.
Yeah.
I loved it too.
But so now it's like, it's great. All these like Asian
always
films
be my
are
maybe.
Good. Yeah, something maybe. Like that. Are getting kind of like traction. But it again, it's not, I'm not seeing myself, but I'm not seeing the same shit.
Yeah.
And it has an effect on you because you're hearing stories that matter. Like I got into Pose finally.
Mm-hmm.
And like one actor friend like, I don't know the acting in this. I was like, but here's the thing. I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm like, I'm learning
yeah.
about a population I knew nothing about. And that matters. And so for me as an artist, I'm not interested in retelling stories that have been told. It's like we, as an artist, it's my job to give a voice to the voiceless. It's my job to effect change. I also like, you know, you talk about some of these plays, you read it on the page, you're inspired, and then you go see it, and you're like, what the hell happened? Like, it's so clean.
Yeah.
Like, life is not, there are fingerprints on things. You know what I mean? You come into our home, there's going to be some crumbs, some fingerprints. Overall, it's not filthy, but it's not perfect. So, like, I don't want to go see someone's life that looks so shiny.
Yeah.
Like, what am I learning? What's happening? Why is it safe? What is the point of that? Making you comfortable because you don't want to be uncomfortable because all you want to know about as a donor and a subscriber is yourself, then I don't care. And, you know, we're getting into this whole thing where we're like, all these theaters are like, oh my God, all of our subscribers are old, white, and dying. And I'm like, okay, but you still just making art for them.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want new subscribers? I mean, I do that with Mirror. I'm like, okay, well, do we want to sell mirrors to everybody? Then maybe our models shouldn't only be 90 pounds and white.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Maybe we could have a white woman that weighs 150 pounds or 200.
Because
mm-hmm. guess who bought the mirrors? The ones that weigh like 200. Those are the ones reaching out to me. So it's like, we got to get out of this like safe place. Only rich white is not who has all the money. And are those the only lives we want to affect? Like, and does that feel good to only affect the people that look like you or who you think, you know, can afford it or whatever? It's just all of that stuff we just have to break. But I also feel like we have a responsibility as we get older, you know, with me, with Mirror in particular, and with these plays as a mom, right? I have work, you know, even New Amsterdam and whatever, on set. It's my responsibility to educate and make a difference.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not rich and famous, but it's my truth and I have the confidence to do it, therefore I must. And that's a lesson. And I'm pretty comfortable in doing that. And I think I know that too. I know I'll say it and no one else will. Not no one, but most people are like,
right.
But what if, or they have too much to lose or whatever, you know? So I think being ballsy enough to like speak up. So, and that feels, it feels good because it's not for me. And I like doing stuff that's not just for me, especially as an artist, you know, it's so much about you.
Yeah.
It's nice to do stuff for other people. So that brings me joy. So like my doula stuff or lactation consultant stuff or just supporting other moms, my pre and postnatal, that truly as an artist fills me because I'm getting outside of myself. I'm not in a room of people like, I auditioned for this shit and I didn't get it. You know? It's like, who cares? It's like, it wasn't yours. Move on. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Rachel, thank you.
Thank you!
That's great.
This is so good. Yay!
Thank you for listening to the Compass Podcast. If you find these conversations valuable to your life as an artist and would like to support the ongoing production of The Compass, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/thecompasspodcast. Pledges start at as little as $1 a month. You'll get access to bonus content and anything you can give would be greatly appreciated.
Also, if you have a moment, please rate or review in iTunes. Every little bit helps other listeners to find the podcast. I'd like to thank the following people for their generosity. The Compass cover art is by Kim Miller, music by Brandon Spieth, audio assistance from Nick Choksi, and a special thanks to Frankie J. Alvarez. See you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.